This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, and we're back with more of our Reporters Roundtable. I'm joined by Mara Schiavo-Campo, digital correspondent for NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, also Corey Dade, Atlanta correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, and Stephen Henderson, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit Free Press. So let's pick up with the Nobel Prize. Former Vice President Al Gore just been jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize along with the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. I'm going to back into this one a little bit. Mara, do you think that this will revive at least a movement to draft him to run for president?
Absolutely. I think even the speculation that he was going to win had revived that movement. There's the draft, I believe it's called the Draft Gore Group, who claims to have 165,000 signatures in an online petition. They're the same group that had the full page ad taken out in the New York Times. So even the prospect of him winning had gotten a lot of people excited about it. So now that he's actually won, people are really going to start, you know, hopping on this Gore 08 bandwagon. But who knows if it'll actually encourage him to make that leap.
Corey, there's the Associated Press is running a story that says, oh, his advisors are saying, no, he won't run. But there's also a Hillary Gore ticket, you know, movement. It all sounds kind of like fantasy football in a way, people throwing all their wishes out there. What does that say about the electorate? Are people just still searching around for their perfect combination, like a sort of a grand buffet in Las Vegas or something?
Well, I don't think it says anything directly about the electorate, because I think this is a machine or an affectation of Gore supporters trying to meet the needs of the electorate. And I think that at the end of the day, there is still a very strong sentiment out there among Democratic voters that Al Gore won the election outright, and he should have been our president for at least certainly the first 4 years, from 2000 to 2004. But I think what this may be is sort of a, you know, the prospect of him running in may be an unfortunate byproduct of modern politics, in that presidential campaigns are so exhaustive that the news media examines every aspect of a candidate's background and their personality, to the point that if that candidate loses and tries to run again in the future, the public doesn't believe they can possibly learn anything more about about that candidate. So the public may view a second candidacy by Al Gore as something similar to like a bad television rerun. Been there, seen that, change the channel.
Well, Stephen, want to get to the meat of the matter. It's climate change. Now, does this choice for the Nobel Peace Prize end the debate over whether there is global warming, or, you know, and basically just move it to a point of, okay, what do we do now? Or do you think there's still going to be some debate over whether or not this is an issue?
Well, already this morning on some of the blogs that I read every day, that's been the argument, is again, it revives the argument over whether climate change is real or man-made or not. So I don't think it ends it. I think one of the, I gotta say that I'm a little bit mystified by the award, though. I mean, I'm not sure of the direct connection that I can draw between climate change, which no doubt Gore has done an awful lot of very good work drawing attention to, and the Peace Prize, which historically has gone to people who you know seek to end conflict. I guess I'm just left a little bit scratching my head this morning.
Well, Mara, some people have argued that as water decreases, for example, in certain regions, it could cause wars. Do you buy that? Do you buy that that's part of the rationale, perhaps, that the Nobel jury used?
I don't know if that's part of the rationale that they use, but that is absolutely a valid consideration. You already see the seeds of climate wars cropping up around the world in places where resources are drying up and people are fighting over them. I mean, the root of so many conflicts historically has been resources. Human beings fight for resources. And so when those resources are dwindling, people are going to fight over them. You can't live without water. That is something that people will fight and kill for. So I think that's a very real consideration.
All right, Mara, Corey, and Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Mara Schiavo-Campo. She joined us from NPR Studios in New York, and she's digital correspondent for NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. Also from Atlanta, Corey Dade, Atlanta correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, and Stephen Henderson, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit Free Press, and he joined us from WDET Detroit.